Yesterday in Shir, we had a chance to explore the Yisod with which the core shock of Atariya closes, with which the core shock of Atariya climaxes. And that's the concept of Dirara de Mamona. The Gemara had said, it had the Shita of Nachman, Kol Da'alam Dvar, in a scenario where there's no Muchzak, Tfizat Ashta, there's no Marakama, there's no evidence, no edim, no shtar, no real rove. So Rav Nachman had said, Zelma Shavosa called Al Gvar. Gemara has the first kasha b'shnei shtaris, where Shmuel specifically halacha lemaisa says shuda d'daini. Why no shuda d'daini? Gemara said no, shuda d'daini is only relevant when it's leka lemekam la demilsa, when we not only have no evidence, but anticipate that we're not going to have any evidence in the future either. Then Beis Din gets out in front and makes a call. And according to Shmuel, the ideal call, we don't have anything to go on, is Shuda D'daini. You have to pick someone. Rashbam, Tosas, you're picking someone based on whatever evidence you have, or just make a call. But making a call is better than leaving it chaotic. Shuda D'daini. But Shuda D'daini is the best in this sort of situation where you have nothing, no muchzak and no evidence. It's the best if we don't anticipate any evidence in the future. So then you have the option of the opportunity to give a shuda d'daini. But sometimes you can't give a shuda d'daini. You have to settle for nothing. You have to settle for kol da'al gvar. If it's ikla, make a the milsa. Gemara said, if there's still a part, there's no evidence yet, but we anticipate it's likely there will be evidence in the future, then you cannot even say shuda, and you're reduced to saying kol da'al gvar. Again, machlokas, Rashbam versus the Rush, where the Kol Da'al Gvar is total siluk of Beis Din, or we make sure no one hurts each other, no one is allowed to do averus, but other than that, we're not going to get involved, and Reuven may be Mizgaber, Shimon might be Mizgaber afterwards, then Reuven might be Mizgaber back, Rashbam says, whatever happened, it can go back and forth, like a ping pong, and the Rush had said, well, we don't want to do that, we have to pick someone, because we're not going to have ongoing Meriva is a bad situation, but we don't get in front of it, as we do by Lech Lamekam, and say, oh, shoot, there's a dining, we're picking Reuven. No, we let Reuven and Shimon sort of pick themselves. One of them will emerge. Whoever emerges as the first Mezgaber, at that point we freeze it in place. But either way, Beis Din is being far less proactive. Beis Din is not really getting in front of the issue. B'chavana, when it's still Ikka, Lamekam, Lademilsa. Then they run a second Kasha, which we said Rove, the vast majority of Mefarshim, understands the second Kasha of Nachman. Rashbam had said there's a yesh mefarshim. Otherwise, as an aside, it is the Rimagash. There's a Rimagash on the sugya. Rimagash that we discussed in one of the chief talmidim, the Rif, the Rebbe of the Rambam's father, Beinu Maimon. The Rimagash, we have Rimagash. We don't have Rimagash in that much Rashas, but we do have Rimagash in Bava Basra. So his treatment of the sugya is a wrap-up. He doesn't go through the sugya step by step. It's a little bit a la Rambam. Not surprisingly, he just gives you what the dinim are that emerge. If there's a muchzak, then it goes to the muchzak. If there's no muchzak, but someone else is holding on to it, the shomer has to hold on to it. That's sort of the beginning of the sugya. And then if no one's holding on to it, then he goes through all the possibilities, kol da'al gvar, and shuda, and yachloku, and it's clear that he thinks that the yachloku case was leka lamekam la demilsa. Now that he understood the Yachloku case was an attack on Shmuel. But if the Ikla Mekam of the Milsa, then he says, Kol Da'al Gvar. He has a different approach to Ikla Mekam. Lekla Mekam has to do with the nature of the Suffolk. Okay, that was a position which Rishonim rejected. At least the name. The Yesh Mefarshim of Rashbam is Rimagash. But we don't accept the Rimagash. That's a Moshe Shapir points out in his footnotes, the Rimagash, very beautiful footnotes. That it's clear, it's very subtle, but once you notice it very clear, that a clear implication of the Rimagash is the Yesh Mefarshim, a clear implication of words of Rimagash, that he understood that the Machal Parah B'Chamor was attacked on Shmuel Shuda. Okay, we don't accept that. Other Rishonim don't accept that. The dominant view amongst the Rishonim, among many Rishonim, is no. A second Kasher of Nachman, how would Rav Nachman deal with Machal Parah B'Chamor? That too, according to the non-Rimagash Rishonim, according to Rashbam and Beni Yonah and so on and so forth, that too is Ikla Mekam La Demilsa. It could still be more evidence. by Machbar Bachamar. So why don't we say Kol Dalam Gvar? And the answer is up. Dirara Dimimona. We say Yachaloku by Machbar Bachamar because it's Dirara Dimimona. And yesterday we discussed what does Dirara Dimimona mean? And we climaxed with the approach of Tosfos, which is implied, as we saw, by the Tosfos Lamed Hamed Alpha and Lamed Hamed Beis, putting those two Tosfos in together, and explicit in the Tosfos and in Bava Metzia, Tzadi Zayin, Kufte Zayin, what Dror D'Emona does, the fact that, as Tosfos says here, Dror D'Emona means that the facts themselves, even without the story that each one tells, the facts themselves, whatever they agree upon, the facts themselves indicate to Beis Din already that it belongs either to Reuven or to Shimon, but to no one else. So that Durara de Mamona, the fact that this is a natural suffix, below Tanosein and Shafik Beis Din, that Durara de Mamona, what it does, what it creates, Tosfos explains in two places above Metzia, is that they both become Muchzakim. As that's the way we closed with yesterday. And what emerges is that L'chaor, there are up to three different ways to become a Muchzak. Up to three different ways to earn the zechus that whoever's motzi from you will need to bring a raya alimta. Motzi mechavel raya. How? So the strongest way, that becomes really the essence, the gist of the sugya and bavintziya davkuf. What emerges in that shock of Vitaria is that the strongest way to become a muchzak is through tefisa dahashta, through present possession. If I'm holding on to it now, I'm the muchzak. If no one's holding on to it now, then according to the Chachamim, against Simchas, route number two to become the muchzak is marakama. I don't have present possession. No one has present possession, but I used to own it. I can prove that I used to own it, I'm the marakama. So that gives me, if I used to own it, then now I am at least have the status of muchzak. And then, and again, that had been a machlokas kuntras asekas and the ketzos, whether it's true that cheskas marakama makes you a muchzak, as you saw many rishonim, seem to indicate, like the kuntras asekas, that marakama is another way to become a muchzak, weaker than tefisa dahashta, but in the absence of tefisa dahashta, marakama will make you the muchzak. And then there's a third way, which Tosfos indicates in Bava Metzia, which, as a matter of fact, the kuntras asekas himself quotes. You have the Kuntras Sveikas in front of you, the piece that we had skipped when he learned the Kuntras Sveikas the first time. He mentions this Tosfos. And in trying to explain the interaction between Marakama, why does Sumchas ignore the Marakama? So his first suggestion was because of this. Efshar lomar, the time of the simchas, mishum disovet, they call mamutu basafik, chashiv ki'ilu shnei mechzakin. When it's mamutu basafik, when there's a drar de mimona, when there's a natural safik, so then they're both considered mechzakin, kimosha, kasva, tosu, parakashal, they have tzai zayin beis. It's also later in Bav Metzia, kufta zayin beis. The chashiv ali bei, ki'ilu kol echad muhsuk bimechitza. The Drar D'Emona gives each one a sense of Muchzakas, which they share, because the facts indicate that it belongs either to you or to you. In the first approach to the Kuntras Sveikas, he says, oh, if Chesed Marakama is mere Chazaka D'Meikara, so Chazaka D'Meikara is not going to work against a Muchzak. Drar D'Emona makes you a Muchzak. The second approach of the Kuntras Sveikas, which is the dominant approach of Kuntras Sveikas, is both are true. Dror D'Emona makes you a muchzuk, Marakama makes you a muchzuk, and the machlokas ha-tanoim is how do you stack them? What's the hierarchy? For Sumchas, Dror D'Emona is a very strong way to make you a muchzuk. While for the Chachamim, whom we paskin like, as we saw, Rov Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim, Dror D'Emona is level three, the weakest way to make you a muchzuk. If there's no tefisa dahashta, and there's no marakama, no one has possession of the asset now, and no one can even prove prior ownership of the asset, so then the third way to become a muchzak is, well, the facts indicate that there's a finite number of people who might own it, and I'm one of them. The facts themselves, the anartinus, indicate it's either mine or yours. This is not like Zemushal Vosa, it could be anybody's. No, the facts themselves indicate it's either mine or yours. Like a machapar b'chamar. Clearly, it's either mine or yours, and we're not sure whom. The sharsha naga chesapar v'nim se'uber v'tzida. Clearly, either I do or I don't owe you the money for part of the nezek to the vlad. And the facts themselves create that suffix. It's clear to Basin that I may or may not owe you the money. It's indicated by the facts. So whenever you have that sort of natural suffix, it's a third way, according to Tosfos. Other Rishonim maybe didn't have such a robust understanding of the impact of Jarad Dimona. But Tosfos is clear, explicit. In the Tosfos that Kudosh HaSeik is quoted, Bavitzia Sarizayim, and 19 blot later, Bavitzia Kuf Tes Zayim, that it actually makes you a mukhsar. It's the weakest way, according to the Chachamim, the Simchus, but it does work. But there's no Tisash, no Marakama. Dvar Demonu makes them both Muchzakim. And then, of course, it's very understandable why you say Yachloku. They're both Muchzakim. So if neither one can prove that he's the full owner, so then, Hamosimech Haver El Varaya, I'm Muchzak 50%, you're Muchzak 50%, so I get 50%, and you get 50%. In the case of Machlev, Para, Bachaman, all the cases of Dvar Demonu. So that's what we saw yesterday. But now we're going to see that the next movement, the final leg of the Gemara, is here perhaps not only because it's sort of the next stage of the case, but it's also conceptually taking this idea one step further. Because in talking about this case, the Gemara is going to say, what happens if the Rav Nachman case had an act two? We're going to see, perhaps, there's a lower level. Tosfos is saying that if there's a real Dvar Dimona, if the facts themselves create the suffix, it's either mine or it's yours, and no one else's, so then mamash are both muchzakim, the Gemara is going to perhaps indicate that there could be a lower level. It's not mamash Dvar Dimona, but something less than that could also give us at least both a little bit of rights to things. Yeah?
Could you maybe explain again what the Rashban
I'd rather not right now because it's just going to take us off route from where we are, but I'm glad to talk about this. Amri Nahar Doi. So where is Nahar Doi? The Talmidei Chachamim, the Yeshiva of Nahar Da'a, Rav Shmuel had been the Rosh Yeshiva of Nahar Da'a, later on Rav Nachman was Rosh Yeshiva of Nahar Da'a. Nahar Da'a was a Yeshiva that was known for a specialization in Dinei Mamonos. Like it's Rosh Yeshiva, who were strong in Kol Torah Kula, but has a specialization in Dini. That's why when Machlokes in Dini Mamonos, we pass like Shmuel against Rav, and we tend to pass like Rav Nachman, particularly in the world of Dini Mamonos. So Amri Nahar Doi, the Bnei Yeshiva, Nahar Doi was a Yeshiva that lasted for a very long time, for a number of generations. So the Talmidei Chachamim Nahar Doi, Nahar Doi was the name of a town, and the Yeshiva in Nahar Doi was called Nahar Doi. That minig has persisted ad hayom hazeh, to name yeshivas for the towns in which are located. Amri Nahar Doi, so Talmidei Chachamim Nahar Doi said, in bo echad min hashuk, what happens if someone else comes from the outside, from the street, from the market, the hechazik ba, and he grabs it? In other words, what happens if the story doesn't end with where Rav Nachman told her? Rav Nachman had said, two guys come to Beis Din, each one claims that this field belongs to my family, or each guy claims that this boat belongs to my family. No one's a mukhsik, v'chul. So what do we say? Kol da'al gvar. So we expect either Reuven will grab it, or Shimon will grab it, whoever gets it first. But instead what happens is neither one gets it. Levi shows up, bo echad min hashuk, someone comes to the outside, and he takes it. Yeah? Oh yeah, so the Rambam is going to quote this Gemara. Exactly. Let's see the Gemara, and then we'll see how the Rambam is given his approach to this Gemara. Very good. So right, we had already seen the Rambam earlier, and he was that last line of the Rambam about a shlishi he was quoting. Now we see the Gemara that the Rambam was based on. So now what? We expect either Reuven or Shimon to grab it. Whoever grabs it, Levi grabs it. So how do we deal with that? So Nahar Doi, that's Machlokas Amaron. The Nahar Doi say, Emotzino Sibiado. You don't take it away? We expect either Reuven would grab it and he would keep it, or Shimon would grab it and he would keep it. Levi grabbed it. So we don't take it away from him either. Why? The Tani, Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia said over a brisa, Gazlan shall Rabbim lav shmei Gazlan. That if you steal from the Rabbim, you're not called a Gazlan. Because this guy is stealing from the other two. Either Reuven's going to take it or Shimon's going to take it. Ba Levi, ba Shlishi, and he took it. So you're stealing from the Rabbim, lo shmei Gazlan. You're not called a Gazlan. What does this mean? And Rashi says, no. Shmei Gazlan, lo shmei Gazlan. He really is called a Gazlan. But what do we mean, lo shmei Gazlan, shlo nitin li shavan? Of course you're a Gazlan. Of course what you did is wrong. It's just that you can't pay it back. And therefore what? So I can't pay back, so then... Now Ardoyet said, we don't take it away from the guy. Right? Because lo shmei Gazlan. Rav Ashi says, no. He is shmei Gazlan, but it's not something that you're able to give back. So offhand it sounds like, so then, doesn't that mean Lamaisa Rav Ashi is saying the same thing? He can't give it back? Well, what's going on? And what? Some halacha Lamaisa is not really arguing. Can't give it back. It's not nitin li shavan. Right. And what does he even mean, lo nitin li shavan? Yeah.
Could it mean that, according to the first one, even in Shemayim, he wouldn't be considered a thief? But according to Ashi, you stole and bridge burned, but you're still, in Shemayim, you can still be
punished. So you're saying, maybe what it means is, it wasn't wrong of Levi to take it. Maybe it wasn't wrong of Levi to take it. Well, according to Nahar Dai, well, according to Rashi, it was wrong, but there's no way to pay back. Yeah? What do you say?
No, it's that maybe even according to Rabbi Chiyah, it's worse than Gzela. So there's no way, you can't get that kapara on the Shiva.
So you're saying like Gavriel Plus. It was Gzela, but you practically you can't give it back, and it's terrible. As opposed to, you don't need to give it back. Right. What do you say? What do you say, Chavra? Nitan lihi shavon. What is... Not nitin shavan, does that mean you don't give it back, or that it's not possible to fully give it back? So let's take a look at the Rashbam and Tesis, and then we'll circle back to Ben Yonah. Rashbam and Tosa is somewhat different ways of reading. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Gazlan shall Rabin. Well, let's start from the beginning. Emotzin osa miyado. Bebezdin. Miyado shall zeh hashlishi. We don't take away from the third fellow. Avagav lo ta'an midi. He's not even claiming that it's his. Interesting. And the Rabbeinu Yonah points out that you can tell that he doesn't claim that it's his because we call him a Gazlan. Right? But the point Rashbam is making, if he claimed that it's his, so then... If he were to claim, oh, actually it's Shalav Osai, I said, of course it's called Long Bar. Well, what's the special yichus of Reuven and Shimon? Because they said it first. Levi could also say, no, you're both lying. Really, it's Shalav Osai. My grandpa told me it's mine. We have no idea. That's the whole point. This is a case where we have nothing. We have no mochsik, no evidence. We have nothing. So if Levi were to come and say, that's Rashbam is pointing out. It's not that Levi is coming and jumping into the same fray. If Levi was coming and saying that it's Shalav Osai, so then presumably it would be Davar Pashut. So he was Mezgaber. That's also called Davar Gvar. No, the point is that he's not saying that I'm entitled to it. This is Beli Taina. He's just taking it. He doesn't claim it's Shalav Osai. Yeah, I see this property and it's unprotected, so I'll steal it.
Why wouldn't he just make the claim to avoid that?
He could have, but he didn't. But he didn't. He's a less effective Gazlan. Baruch Hashem, he was not using his smarts.
Is making the claim that make it any better? Is it not still stealing?
It is stealing, but he would get away with it. It would be equally wrong. But if he had come and said it's Shalav Osai, we would let him stay there. The Kol is because that's a din of Kol Dangvar. Again, in the case of Kol Dangvar, the guy who gets it might be the Gazlan, and he's going to have to pay in Shamayim for his sin. But we have no way of knowing, and therefore we can't really act. But if Levi shows up and says, this is Shalav Osai, we'll let him stay there based on the principle of Kol Dangvar. If he comes and we say, why do you take this over? He said, because why not? And the Rabbi Yonah suggests that this comment to the Rashbam is indicated by the language of Gazlan. We wouldn't call him a Gazlan in the context of Kol Dangvar, if he's saying the same Shalav Osai as everyone else is. Moreover, Rabbeinu Yonah points out, We didn't just say ba echad the hechzik. We said ba echad min hashuk. Why min hashuk? Why does that add? So he suggests min hashuk means he's not even part of this conversation. It's not like he says no, shalav osai. Stop! A guy just walks in from the outside, no shaykhus, and just says, I'm taking it. So now the question is, that all feeds back into the line that Rashbam said. Lo toi nigi. But still, Nardoi say, we don't, Bezin is not going to force him to relinquish it. Why? We're not convinced that it belongs to Reuben or to Shimon either. So Nardoi say, just let it stay. The Tani Rabbi Chia, Gazel Shal Rab. Rabbi Chia had this line that Nardoi quoted. Rabbi Chia had a brisa, and Nardoi quoted that a Gazel Shal Rabim Lav Shmei Gazel. What does that mean? So the Rashbam said, Sabri Nardoi, the Begazel Ki High Mighty. Nardoi thought that Rabbi Chia was talking about this sort of situation. What does it mean to steal from the Rabbi? That's a little bit of an ambiguous phrase. And Nardoi understood that Rabbi Chia's brisa meant this. They said, look, we have a brice that Rebchia taught us that in a case of Gazlan Shal Rabin, which they understood to mean this case, Lav Shmei Gazlan. What does Lav Shmei Gazlan mean? So remember, now that we said that, and again, as Ben Yom explained, based on multiple diukim, that this Shlishi is not claiming that it's his. So what does Lav Shmei Gazlan mean? Does it mean that what he did is okay? It was mutter. Clearly not. This asset belongs to someone. We, mere mortal human beings on the basement, we don't know who owns it. But there is an owner. It's not Hefker. Someone owns it. We're not sure who. Is it Reuven? Is it Shimon? Is it Plomi? Someone owns it. Levi doesn't claim it's his. He's just seizing it. So clearly Levi is a Gazlan. He's doing an Avera. He's doing an Avera. He's stealing this from someone. We don't know who the victim is. So when we say Lav Shmei Gazlan, clearly we don't mean that what he's doing is not a violation of the Lav of Osigzal, which is why the Rashbam says Lav Shmei Gazlan means, what does Rashbam say? He gives an interpretation. Lachufo bebezdin, lahutzi miyad miyado mashagazal. Lav Shmei Gazlan, the Rashbam explains, it doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong, he's not an avaryan. No, of course he has to do tshuva. Of course he's a Gazlan. Maybe we even say he's pasul le'edus because of his gazel. We know he's stealing. By his own admission, he's stealing. Here's an asset that's not hefker, and you're taking it. You only claim it's yours. So of course you're a gazel. But elav shmei gazel means we can't apply the full din of gazela. The full din of gazela would be with or without kantabayla, but the full din of gazela is the heshir is akzela, asher gazai. Bezin will, you have a, if you're a gazan, you have a mitzvah to pay back. And now you have a mitzvah to pay back. Bezin will force you to pay back. If you don't want to do that mitzvah, we're not going to give you a choice. We will seize the stolen asset if we have the power to do so from the gazan. Here we don't. We know you're a gazan. We say to Levi, we know you're a balavera. We know that you're enjoying a boat that does not belong to you. But Bezin says, we're not going to do anything about it. Why? They'll give you a musar shmuz, try to encourage you to do tshuva, but we're not going to actively take the boat away. Why?
Because they can't.
Because we have to work on that some more. But it's such a fluid, such an ambiguous situation. And now. So now let's think. So if that's the first shita. That's Nardai. Nardai is saying, of course, literally, the guy is a Gazlan, but Lav Shmei Gazlan means we're not going to enforce Hashavas HaGezel. So then, when Rav Ashi disagrees, La'olam Shmei Gazlan. What does that mean? La'olam Shmei Gazlan means we will force it to give it back. What does he say? Hov lo ta'imidi. But then, of course, if we are forced to give back, but then they say, well, nitin liyishavim. It's not returnable. So how are we forced to give it back when it's not returnable? Plus, what does it mean that it's not returnable? Of course, return it. So let's see. Hovelo toy midi, says Rashbam. Rav Ashi says, Gazlan shav shmei gazlan. Hovelo toy midi. He has no taina. He doesn't claim it's his. Of course we take it. He's by his own admission enjoying stolen goods. Of course you have to take it away. What do we do with it? Beis Din will come knock on his door and kick Levi out of the house that he inappropriately, criminally seized. We're going to kick him. We're going to seize the boat that he had taken the Gezel. And what will we do with it? Here's the question. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? So Rashbam says, what does Hashava look like? Who are we returning to?
The state in which it was being contested.
Good. So Rashbam says, we return to the original state. The state of Kol Dal Gvar. We go back to square one. This is the control Z approach. Right? You undo all the steps. The guy, Levi had come and taken it. That was inappropriate. So we're going to undo control Z. Right? If only real life was this simple. In the metaverse, maybe you can just make things the way you want
maybe,
to.
If it's outside of space.
In Baruch Hashem real life, not always so simple. But that Bezin's directive is to do the hard work of making the world a better place. Specifically, Rashbam understands, Bezin's directive is control Z. Undo Levi's seizure. Levi stole. Undo that. Take it back to what was the previous state of affairs. Reuben and Shimon were both about to jump. So go back to that. Reverse the last play. And now it's back between Reuben and Shimon. Put it back in front of the first two. Sheish lahem tainus avos. And again, Rashbam reminds us, the yichus of the first two, unlike Levi, is that they have a claim to legitimate ownership. We don't know if they're telling the truth or not, but the two who have a legitimate claim and therefore have the right to go for a kol dal gvar. So put it back to them. Yeah, question.
In this case, in which we're saying bring it back to them because they opened the room, may there a point to court be impactful here? We're saying if you would have claimed, oh, yeah, this is my father too, then this what Rashi is saying now, or what Rashi saying now wouldn't apply.
Absolutely. Right. If Levi were to claim, it's the Pashas. That's what I was saying from the outset. If Levi were to also claim kindness of us, so then he has the same call down of our rights as anybody else, presumably. But he didn't. And he made a Hadazbal with the Gemara, the principle, Hadazbal Din, based on a tradition, I think, in Erechim. Hadazbal Din Kameya Adam Dami. That the admission, own teammates. This is the halachic equivalent of own teammates. If a person admits something to his detriment, I admit that I do owe you money. I admit that this does not belong to me. Something like that. I admit that you do not owe me money. So if I make an admission to my own detriment, hodah ba'adin kenei edim dami. It's equivalent of 100 witnesses. Meaning, even if I change my mind later, too late. So if I came to Bezin and said, the Bezin said, why are you here? So I said, well, they said, why do you deserve this? I said, I don't really deserve it, but no one else was here, so I decided to move in. I'm squatting. So once I say that, I can't, then Bezin comes knocking a day later and says, get out of here. No. My grandfather used to live here. He said, you told us yesterday your grandfather does not own this. You can't change your story later. Once you told us, you have no rights to it. Back inside. Let's come back to the core thread. So now we understand, we're beginning to understand. We have a machlokes, and the Gemara Rashbam is unpacking this for us. The machlokes is not whether what he did is appropriate or not. Being that the case is specifically, the Okim Tipshah, the case is specifically, Rishonim explained, where Levi has no taina, so Levi is definitely, in the simple sense, a Gazlan. The machlokes where the Shmei Gazlan, Lash a Gazlan, is will Beis Din coerce Hashavas HaGezel? And Nahardai said no. And Rashi says yes. And what does Harshavas HaGezel look like? Back in the middle. Back to Kol Dal Gvar. Now what remains difficult in the Gemara is that what do you mean that it was Lo Nitan Lihishavam? Well, he said Lo Shrei Gazel, and it means it's not Lo Nitan Lihishavam. It is Nitan Lihishavam. He said we're making him to that. So there are two ways of solving that problem. How you understand the final piece of the Gemara. How do you understand that final piece of the Gemara? So Rashbam says, well, and Tosa says, different. I think the final piece of the Gemara that it's not Mita and Mishabim. So the Rashbam says, take a look, my lo shmei gazel, why me lo shmei gazel? The Kamer of Yechia, we had Bryce or Yechia, Yechia said gazel shalabim lo shmei gazel, but in this case, he is shmei gazel. The Rashi holds, you do make him hear that. But what did Yechia mean, lo shmei gazel? It's not Mita lehi shabam, it's not able to be returned. My lo shmei gazel to Kamer Bechia, says Rashbam. What did Bechia mean when he said lo shmei gazel? Lo lahakel alav balafatro milashan. He didn't mean lahakel to say, oh, lo shmei gazel, you don't have to pay back at all. You're good. We're not going to make you pay back. No. Elahachmir alav. Rabbi Machmironin. Velomar. The lo nitan li yishavon. You're not able to fully give it back. Lo michver bahashamba. You're not going to get kapara through your hashava. Why? The annual day will be yashid. You don't even know whom to give it back to. It had been a kol da'al gvar. It had been an open suffix. If you would have kept your nose out of it, Levi, it would play out as it plays out. You would have no responsibility as a bystander. Beis is taking care of it. Beis is deciding what to do. But you, lady, decide to stick your nose in, and you stole, and you took it, and we know you're a Gazel. Says Rabbi Chiya, not only, according to Rashi, not only, of course, you have to give it back, you don't have the right to keep it, but even giving it, putting it back in the middle, isn't really going to help, because we don't know who it belongs to, and now that you took it, you have a responsibility to give it back to the rightful owner. You stole from someone, give it back to that same someone. Who did you steal from? You don't even know. I stole from whoever owns it. But I don't know if Reuven owns it or Shimon owns it. That was the whole issue. We don't know whether it's Shal Reuven or Shal Shimon. So, Levi, if you wouldn't have stolen, it wouldn't have been your issue. But now, you have an achrayt, the heishad zeh shagazal, you have an achrayt to give it back to the rightful owner.
Why do you return half of it to each of them?
That's not paying back to the rightful owner. Because I stole the whole thing. Zama.
Isn't that just Yakloku?
So Rashbam says.
Yeah, but it's slightly different in the sense that he's giving gift rather than
Yakloku.
Yeah, it's basically Yakloku, the difference being that he's giving back half, but personally rather than based in confiscating it.
So
the Rashbam says, really what you ought to be, the implication of Rashbam. As the Rav Yonah plays it out, is is that really what you ought to be doing? That's the way Rav Yonah plays it out. According to Rashbam, what you really ought to be doing with Tel Avi, the only way to really cover your bases would be to pay back fully to both Reuven and Tishon. Pay back half and half, you're not paying back fully to either one. Maybe, because in theory, the only way you could really get full kapara is to cover all of your bases and to give it back to all of them. Wow. Because that's what Lolita Lishavan means. How are you going to pay them back? You're going to put it back in the center? So it's a coin flip. Maybe a little better than a coin flip. You're Mekayim HaShavah if the right person gets it. So the Rosh Hashanah says there's a slight svara, it's slightly more likely the right person gets it. So if you're lucky, you did Hashava. But you stole this boat, you're going to put the boat back in the center, you might be Mekayim Hashava, you might not. You definitely can't keep it, Rashi says. Of course you take it away. You definitely don't have the right to keep it. So you may have to put it back in the middle.
So we won't even know.
Right?
And we'll wait for Adam. Like,
right, hopefully. And if Adam never show up, so maybe you're Mekayim, you'll find that he gets Shalayim, you'll find that he gets Shamayim, whether he's Mekayim or not.
So that's his onus for being...
Now, on the other hand, and Rashbam goes on to talk about the Gemara later in Bava Basra, in the fifth parak, Kasha Oncho Shal Midos Me Oncho Shal Royos. The onesh for dishonest weights and measures is worse than the onesh for adultery. Shocking statement. Adultery. Gila Royos. Someone has an affair, there's a married woman, has a boyfriend on the side.
Mosinaf?
You heard my Yavar? And onesh al midos is even worse. Midos doesn't mean having bad midos in the sense of anava versus gaiva. It means in dishonest weights and measures. How could the Gemara say that's even worse? Because. Because hasan efshe b'tshuva, hachal efshe b'tshuva. How do I do proper tshuva for dishonest weights and measures? I stole from everyone. Anyone who ever came to my store in the last 20 years, I stole some undisclosed amount from, because I overcharged them slightly. So there's no way to properly pay it back. So says the Rashbam, this is very similar. That's what we're saying. You are a Goslin Shalrabin. You're a Goslin Shalrabin. And there's no way. Lo nitan liyishav doesn't mean don't return it. It means it's not returnable. You're going to do your best by taking the boat and putting it back in the middle. But you don't know that you're really able to. You have to do the act of returning. But you may not succeed in accomplishing returning. I mean, you can't hold on to it. Beis Din won't let you hold on to it. But that may or may not accomplish hashava. Because if the wrong person gets it, so then you were never meshiv. And you have a chiv hashava because you were a gazim. Now Tosfos doesn't take this approach. Tosfos implies, and the Ramban, quoted by the Mukhi Yosef, says explicitly, that the point of the Gemara's answer was that Reb Chiya was really talking about a different case. Chiya was talking about a case where you know you stole from multiple people. Maybe here it's enough to put it back in the center. In other words, Tosfos and the Ramban think putting it back in the center is really sufficient. That's what you need to do. Shmei Gazan, you have to return it, put it back to square one, and you're done. Ayur B'chiyah, the Tosfos Ramban say, Ayur B'chiyah, talking about a different case. Our mamar stole from multiple people. I stole from a rabbin, I have to give it back to each one. But here, I didn't really steal from a rabbin, say Tosfos and the Ramban. I stole from one person. I just don't know who. So that's somehow that's somehow better.
What?
I'm not trying to hurt anyone.
You know what you're stealing from. It's different than like if you're it's different to steal from somebody. It's different to steal from somebody when you're when you share from them who you know from. You know I'm stealing from this person. Versus there's this item on the street that I want to take, so I can then take it.
Yeah, okay. But even la'ahachas, you got to pay back.
Well, yeah.
So Rabbeinu Yonah makes a fascinating comment. And I would love to take questions also. Rabbeinu Yonah makes a fascinating comment to wrap this together a little bit, then I want to hear your questions. Rabbeinu Yonah makes a comment. He says that that what's going on here, listen carefully. The Nahardai said you don't have to pay back, right? We're not going to force you to pay back. Why not? It's not Levi's. So the Nahardai said, Rabbi Yonah explains, Nahardai said, well, you don't have to pay back because it's Mamon She'en Lo Tovin. No one can really claim it from you. We know it's not yours, but give back to who? Reuven has no right to it. Shimon has no right to it. I mean, beforehand, we would have let Reuven and Shimon go at it because we don't know whose it is. But Nahardai say, you don't have to give it back. We're not going to force you to give it back because, yes, it's not yours. Yes, B'dinei Shamayim, you are mechuyav to give it to someone. The Beis Din cannot act unless someone has standing and is suing you for it. Who's going to sue you for it? Reuven's going to sue you for it. Shimon's going to sue you for it. On behalf of whom?
Both of them.
Who? But it's Mamon She'en Lo Tovim.
But at the end of the day, it's probably going to go to one or the other. So
Then Rabbeinu Yonah says, Rav Ashi said, we pass like Rav Ashi, that Beis Din will make the guy give it up. Why? It's a mamashin lo tovin. So the answer is, as Gavriel said, he says, we are assuming it's probably one of theirs. And therefore, we're going to force, it says, and that, by the way, is why, that's, by the way, he says, that's why we even had a Havamina earlier. Or maybe we should do a Shuda, maybe we should do a Chalukah. He says, the whole thrust of the Sugya, Beit Yonah writes, in Dear Masor Rashi, is that we are assuming, we don't have evidence, we are assuming it's probably either Reuben's or Shimon's or some combination thereof. And that's why the Gemara said, well, why don't we do a Shuda? Well, why don't we do a Chalukah? I mean, give it, grant it more directly to one or both of them. Why? Who says it's Reuben or Shimon's? So Rabbi Noah says, the whole thrust of the Sugya was that we were assuming that it's probably Reuben's or Shimon's or some combination. So how come Kol D'Angvar? Why not something else? So Rabbi Noah says, what's emerging from the end of the Sugya is that even we do say Kol D'Angvar, but it's still, it's a little bit of an award to the two of them. Such that if a third guy comes and yanks it away, we're going to, Bazin will take it back on behalf of these two. Between the two of them, we can't decide. Between the two of them, we leave it up to Kol D'Alam Gvar. But as a group, Reuven and Shimon do have some call on this chayfetz. It is a little bit Mamon Sheyesh Lo Tovin. That was the difference, says Rabbi Yonah, between Nahar Dai, who said, Reuben and Shimon have zero standing. How do we take it away? Based on what? Reuben and Shimon have no rights to anything either. But now Rav Ashi is saying, no, they do have a little bit of rights. And let's end by thinking about that. Rabbi Yonah makes an important point. We didn't even have any thought about it. But reminds, the fact that I had a kasha, why not say Shuda? A kasha, why not say Yachloku? The premise of those questions is there is, we are going to assume it's sort of, it should go, Bezin ought to be given it to either Reuven or to Shimon, or to both together. And we couldn't because, okay. And specifically that first Kash and Teres. Well, we're not going to make a Shuda because Lakalameka, because Ikalameka. But in principle, it would have made sense to give it to one of them. To give it to one of them, it could be belong to any of the billions of people in the world. So there is some, they have some something. These two guys have some connection, some rights. Such that even, not only was there a Havamin, we should say Shuda, but even Lamaskana, if a third guy takes it, will yank it away on behalf of the group, the class of these two. What's Takip Shot in that? So what emerges, I think, is the following. What emerges is yesterday we said, if the facts indicate that it's either Reuben's or Shimon's, a drar de mamona with a fact, b'li tano semi shafik lebezdin, so then they manage to come muchzakim. Now Rabbeinu Yonah, according in the hands of Rabbeinu Yonah, the end of Gemara is pointing out, again, not just the second piece of the story, but the second step of the lumdas. That let's say we don't have facts on their behalf. Kol D'Alam Gvar, there are no facts on behalf of either one. What they do have, as opposed to the rest of the world, is a taina. They don't have evidence. They don't have facts. There isn't a natural suffix that would actually make them muchzak, but at least they do have koach ha-taina. They made a taina. They claim it's theirs. Even their claim has some standing. That's something we're going to see more of as we get back to the beginning of the parak. But the Gemara is already telling us, koach ha-taina, there is a koach ha-taina. The fact that I came to Bezin, you're not going to automatically believe me just because I said so, but that gives me some, there is some koach just to my taina alone. The fact that I said it, we're the only two people who said it. We're the only two people who said it. So that gives us some standing. No one else has any taina. So we're not muchzak. We don't have the right to hold on to it until someone else has a raya. But there was a havami that Bezin should give it to us. And Bezin will take away from Levi on our behalf. We are like the tovim because we don't have evidence, but we at least have koach ha-taina. So that gives us some standing. I'm glad to stick around for questions, however.